Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 165.
It's pretty exciting.
It is exciting.
You know what? It's also exciting because for the last couple days or week or so, I've gotten to see you actually grow a beard. Or should I say try?
Why are you being such an asshole about my beard?
This is so funny. We had a whole conversation in the car back from Palm Springs. I can't believe you haven't noticed how much it's grown.
I'm like, it is growing. It's insane. It's driving my face crazy.
It's not insane. It's growing slowly. It's growing slowly. It's getting a little larger each. I mean, I was expecting like, you know, Everwood, you know, Treat Williams, like by now.
In a week and a half? Yeah. What do you expect me to do in a week and a half?
That's how you're acting.
He's not
like
a wizard.
You're acting like it's that long. Like, oh, like 5 days later, look, I'm like Gandalf.
It is. I didn't say, no. I would, A, not make a reference to movies I don't like because they're too long and Peter Jackson is self-indulgent.
Hard way to start the show.
Christ. Take your ass to Helm's Deep.
And
after we just met Viggo Mortensen too,
he's a wonderful actor.
Yeah, he is.
I will acknowledge his greatness in The Road.
Yeah.
How did he feel about your beard?
He loved it.
Did it match up to his road beard?
Yeah, it did. He said, "Graham, great road beard." First thing he said to me, he goes, "You look like you've been eating humans." Yeah. That's what he said to me. True story.
No, that's what Ed Asner said.
Well, yeah, Palm Springs was fun. We were at the Palm Springs Festival.
Yeah,
we got
AMFM Fest, and we got to meet, like we said, Ed Asner and Viggo Mortensen, and it was really fun. We did a little shorts program. We showed our films. We showed Hello Junkie and Hit Clown
on
Friday, and Mike Schmidt hosted.
Our guest, Mike Schmidt.
It was an awesome Friday night, and then Sunday we hosted the awards, which was really fun.
Oh, we did, we were there for a screening Saturday night of Greatest Movie.
Oh, yeah, and we did a little Q&A for Greatest Movie Ever Rolled,
too. So there's some fans that came over that. That was fun. And it was 102.
Now, this is ostensibly a film festival.
Well, kind of like an arts festival. It has film, but then also music. And
that explains Ed Asner's appearance. Because I was wondering, I'm like, what could you possibly... Unless it's like a big Up panel that they were doing 4 years too late.
Everything about Up.
They finally got the stars of Up to concede and show up 4 years later when the heat was off.
Well, he's been doing a lot of voiceover now, isn't he?
He does a lot of voiceover. He does a lot of cartoon work, and I think he's still doing indie movies every once in a while too.
I'm sure he is.
So it was a fun fest.
You don't need to defend Ed Asner to me.
Yeah,
I was having a little fun.
But it was good. It was a good festival.
Yeah. So thank you to everybody who came out for that. Thank you for Rich
Henrich.
Henrich, you said Heinrich because that's what I've been calling him
for 15 years.
About 20. Let's call it 20.
Yeah. Yeah, then I got shit on the stage. It's Henrich, not Heinrich, Chris. Jeez.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, Mancini.
And then Graham was like, that's jeez.
Yeah, Mancini.
Yeah.
What a way to drop the ball.
As Graham stroked his beard.
Yeah.
Oh, you are so wrong, Chris.
I actually was braiding it because it's so long.
Yeah. It was like, it's a big Fu Manchu.
That's amazing. I do not like facial hair. I've never liked it, and this confirms it. It itches, and it's stupid. I don't like it. As I look at two guys with who've had goatees for the better part of the time that I've known
you. Well, I have to. I have, like, a giant fat head. But, I mean, you but I will tell you this. Your beard ages you, like,
I look like I'm 70 years old.
You really do change. I mean, because you're
I wouldn't say 70, but
it seems high, but...
A beard does age you a little bit.
I let a man age his own face. He can call out a number if he wants.
87.
All right, but you seem almost preternaturally young. You know, whenever.
Yeah, I mean, Graham looks like he's 30.
Exactly, but then all of a sudden, at the
now he looks
of the beard,
now he looks 35.
Yeah, now you should. You need a wrench because I didn't get a hat on too. You need a wrench and a whole set of tools. I mean, you really like became a man in 5 days. It's crazy.
So before I looked like a little boy.
You did. You're surfing. Wee. And now
your little soft skin.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And your good complexion. How dare you?
That's what I think when I see you. Wee!
Wee! Hi, I'm Graham Elwood. Exactly. You want to surf with me?
Oh. Hi, everyone.
Hey, everybody.
Should we introduce our guest?
We already did.
You're
like
a
fun sidekick. That's who you are, like a little like a sprite. You're like on people's shoulders.
I'm a sidekick. And now I'm the grizzled.
You're the heavy.
I'm the heavy.
Yeah. Now you've got a whole
Now it's Deliverance.
Syringe needles to kill people with. You're a very classy hitman.
Yeah. All right.
From syringe needles to classy hitman.
No, I said to kill people with, because I've always I've maintained that a great murder scene in a movie, and I think every time I'm in the movies, this is appropriate for your show. Whenever anybody sits in a movie theater with me and they put their drink on the floor in front of me, their like Coke, I want to lean forward with a syringe and pop it in the top of their soda and squirt poison in it and lean back and watch the rest of the movie. And then they will drink their soda and die. And then nobody will suspect me because they'll be like, how did he die of poisoning? It was in his Coke. But nobody will find the tiny hole caused by my syringe and my hypodermic needle that I poked through the top of the plastic lid.
Or you could just put it through the straw.
Yeah. Could do that as well.
Then there's no hole. That's what I would do. Because I think they might find a hole.
So hold on. This fantasy I've had of murdering someone for 15 years, you
had a fatal flaw. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Good. All right.
Yeah. Think it through, Michael.
Now I really know how to do it. That was the only thing stopping me. Yeah. So, and now your beard is in. I'm going to hire you. This is perfect.
Now that I have a beard, I would like to kill somebody with a spoon.
See?
Just to stop the itching.
Oh, God. Man, it drives you mad.
So we're doing a little shoot for TiVo on Thursday. That's why Grandma's growing a beard, and it will be online, and we will let you guys know about that. But
no, I have a beautiful girlfriend to hide that I'm gay. Wait, no. What? Did I say that wrong?
Oh, yeah, I think you did. Absolutely.
Should I not have said that out loud?
That will make you want to kill people.
You did say it was itchy.
So wait, you're growing the beard for the TiVo shoot?
Yeah, it's a post-apocalyptic thing.
Oh, so I wasn't far off with Vigo in the road.
No, it was pretty close.
Look at this nonsense.
Yeah.
All right.
Look at this nonsense.
Full disclosure, Vigo will not be in the TiVo shoot.
Yeah, we couldn't get him. We tried.
TiVo drops the ball.
I know. We're like, Vigo, do you like $50?
However, Ed Asner will be there with bells on.
Oh, yeah. He's paying us to
in his
out.
Lou Grant outfit.
Yeah.
He's doing that. MeTV is like a TV network that shows all those old reruns, and Ed Asner is on it. He's like, hi, I'm Lou Grant, and he's in his old Lou Grant clothes.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
941 years old.
Oh, it's great. He was like joking and heckling us and stuff. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Was like,
oh,
that sounds fun.
I was like, I'm getting heckled by Lou Grant. It was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Really? Mm-hmm. Did you bury him?
Of course.
Yeah, you gotta.
But he's just in the front row just going, ah, you gotta, you know. But he wasn't like being a dick heckler.
No, he was really nice.
He was just like playing, like having fun playing along. It was awesome. You know, it was great.
Sure it was.
Why would I lie about that? Why would I say it was awesome when it wasn't? That's like saying I really enjoy
heckling to me is horrendous. I don't give a fuck. There's no sport in it.
If Ed Asner does it, it's okay.
Did you just go shut up? Up. That's why I don't do this anymore.
Well, speaking of TiVo, we should do the TiVo ad.
Let's do the TiVo ad.
Make it sound natural so we don't set it up as an ad.
Well, you just blew that by
saying. Yeah, I'm saying rewind.
Rewind. Rewind. So edit this part out.
Yeah, no, it's like a TiVo.
Oh,
you can actually rewind and watch it again. Now, the thing about TiVo that we were talking about before is they've got a lot of stuff that doesn't exist with any other DVRs, which we really like. Like, you know, you get a DVR with your cable, you know, blah, blah, blah. The thing that I love about TiVo is that their DVR, it has four tuners. Like, if you have kids, like we do, a lot of times, even when you have a box with two tuners, there's always somebody that wants to watch on demand, tape some horrible show on the Disney Channel, and then actually watch something. So to actually have four tuners is a huge thing. And what I love about it, too, is when you get the stream box, you can actually send it to your iPad. And I know you're excited about this because you can actually bring shows on a plane.
This is the coolest thing because I can, you know, right now I watch a lot of TV shows down the road with DVDs, which is fine because you can binge watch. But I'm excited because there's a bunch of, I mean, there's even some sporting events I would watch. There's some movies that are on TV. There's a bunch of TV shows that I like, but I'm not crazy for, but now with this I will record and I will send them to my laptop and I'll watch them on planes.
Yeah, and you've got a ton more storage too, and you send it you can stream
300 hours.
Yeah, and you can send it like even the TiVo stream will send stuff to your iPad all over the house too. And the other thing I really like about it is that when you do like a DVR search, it just kind of searches, well, what's on demand that you have to pay for and what shows are coming up. But the TiVo will actually search all those things plus the internet. Like if you want to check out like something on Hulu or it'll actually come up on those searches.
I'm going to have 300 hours of samurai movies on which I'm
in the first day.
Which or one 300 hour samurai movie.
one just Kurosawa film that
epic.
Yeah. Which would be, God, that'd be awesome. All of Kurosawa's movies back to back.
Mm-hmm. You could do it.
I'm alone in this, I can tell, but I
would. No.
I'm a huge, huge fan of Kurosawa.
Oh,
but
man, that'd be awesome.
It's the back-to-back part I'm not on board with.
I would do that. I still watch 13 Assassins because it's on my computer. And so now I'm going to put more Assassins on my computer.
You're going to have 14?
I'm going to have 14 assassins. I'm going to get the 14th assassin. And he's the guy with the syringe and the Coke bottle at the movie theater. And he'll just be like, boop, 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 boop. And then, oh, TiVo. So TiVo can help you become an assassin, I think is what we're trying to say.
Yeah, that's the takeaway.
That is the takeaway.
Now, one of the questions we actually had was that, we actually asked TiVo this as we were looking through the information. Like, you know, with a DVR, you've got to rent it. And there's like, you know, there's all these fees with your cable company. Mm-hmm. TiVo, they're just selling you the hardware. You buy the box, that's it. There's no hidden fees, there's no subscription, it's nothing.
And because it works like a Roku or whatever, you can then get internet shows or whatever, like Hulu and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so it really, you can hook it up into whatever you want.
And some cable companies, actually, they charge you a monthly fee for the, or even dish places, they charge you a monthly fee for their DVR.
Right.
So you can actually eliminate that fee by using the TiVo box. And there's different levels, too. It depends how, like, I think there's like a fancier one with more storage, and then there's like some cheaper models, and then the stream is what sends it to all the different devices.
That's the thing. That's the thing right there. Mine is a right.
So we're excited about it.
So, yes, let's do it. TiVo it.
TiVo it.
Put that in your TiVo.
Put that in your TiVo.
All right. Well, let's talk about some motion pictures. So two movies came out this weekend. Let's talk about This Is the End first, which I'm the only one who saw it. So I will...
I would have seen it. I apologize. I did not know it was going to be discussed.
That's all right.
If we weren't having a blast at the AMFM festival, I would have seen it as well. But go ahead, Graham. Let's see.
I really liked this movie. It made me laugh out loud. And I was not going into it. I mean, the trailer, I go, this could be funny. They assembled a bunch of actors, some of whom I don't like and I get annoyed with. They're all great in this. And what they do is they all play themselves and they depict themselves like a bunch of spoiled, selfish assholes, a bunch of Hollywood crybabies, and a rapture has come. That's what's happened. So the end of the world is here, and there it starts. They're all having a party at James Franco's house, and they just do little funny things in there. They make fun of themselves. Seth Rogen makes fun of himself a lot.
Isn't even like the decoration of James Franco's house like that's the over the top?
Thing. Yeah, like James Franco... throughout the film is like almost obsessed with Seth Rogen. He's just like, we're just such great friends. And here's all my artwork. And he has a painting of himself and Seth Rogen in his own house. It's just shit like that. So there's funny stuff. And you know, Danny McBride, they all hate him and he's crazy. And, you just get to see how these guys would do it. And every time it starts to kind of go down cliche, like stuff comes out of nowhere. There's some scary stuff. It was a fun, entertaining film. It was really, I really liked it.
And it didn't even look like a low budget movie, too.
No,
it
there's
seemed
money
like there's
this.
Money behind it, like with the special effects.
Yeah.
And
I heard
the scope
it had,
of it.
You can answer this, and you would, this would speak to you because we're the same guy, basically. I heard it had a Ghostbusters vibe, a real like fun, but also the special effects and everything, and kind of caught you off guard where you didn't think it was going to be that.
That's a great example, Mike. It is like Ghostbusters in that because Ghostbusters had some real terror in it. There had some real like holy shit.
Yeah.
In the middle of this very funny film, like you kind of, it sort of feels, it's not. There's not a lot of scenes that I was like, oh, it's too wacky. It was like, oh, these are how these selfish idiots would act in the middle of this scenario. Like you say Ghostbusters, you kind of believe that. Maybe these guys could pull this off if that did exist. You know, like if these actual ghosts came and there was these like green things and they figured out
a way
to
made a containment grid.
Yeah, they made a containment grid. Like there was enough like of a foundation to kind of suspend your disbelief enough to go along with this film and have fun with it. Yeah, that's a great example. And I the number of times that Green Lantern is made fun of Green Hornet is made fun of in this movie.
Green Lantern would be appropriate as well.
You can make fun of them both. They're both green and dumb. Because I think that was the movie that spurned my crazy Michael Bay rant, I think, was watching that. I don't know why I... Anyway, so the fact...
It's deserved either way.
It is deserved. It is deserved. And so it was really... I liked it a lot, you know. The budget was $32 million. It made...
Which is a lot for a comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. That's an expensive comedy.
Well, but also those guys, I mean, you know, Jonah and Seth, those guys can get paid now. So they may have waived whatever to be able to make the movie they wanted to make and to be able to make it with their friends. And because it is, you know, it's a risky idea, especially because of Green Hornet, which tanked. I'm sure Jonah being nominated for an Oscar had a lot to him getting the money to be able to make this movie.
Well, that's one of the reasons I liked about it is because they didn't just keep. I mean, they even do a joke in the beginning of the movie. Seth Rogen picks up Baruchel at the airport, and there's like a paparazzi TMZ guy there videotaping. He's like, "Hey, so you're the same guy in every movie. Do you think that that's getting old? Like that's they put that in the film, and the fact that, like you say, they said let's." Because I'm sure, you know, they're getting 15 scripts a day that would play the same guy. Oh, right, all those guys. Seth, Michael, Sarah,
oh, believe
all of
me. There's scripts now that just have the word Seth Rogen type.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. And so they went, the fact that they did that, and like you say, they're all A-list guys who have done and will continue to probably do $50 to $100 million budget movies, that they did this $32 million comedy, and there is some cool special effects in it.
Yeah.
That's what I really liked about it. I was like, they were trying something different.
Emma Watson was in it. There was a lot of people in it.
And the way they argued with each other.
Well, you know, when I saw the first trailer, and I saw the Emma Watson thing, and Hermione stole all of our shit or whatever, and I thought it looked really funny. And then I heard the conceit that they all played themselves in the movie, and why are you joking the joke? That's fucking crazy. Why would you do that? And then I talked to you, and you went, it really works, and it's really funny. And then you explained why, and another friend of ours explained it to me, too, and he told me his thoughts on it, and I came around on it. I mean, it's a great idea. You know what I mean? In the beginning, I was down on it. I thought, oh, because again, movie stars are indulgent. So in the wrong hands, those dudes could have made like a fucking hash 'em up. They could have made Johnny B. Goode with Anthony Michael Hall and Robert Downey Jr., where they essentially improvised the entire script. There was no boundaries. Nobody was there to tell them they were doing wrong. So it's good that they did not do that with this film, because there's a lot of potential with all of those dudes to just kind of spiral off into their own. Hey, you be Seth, you go be Danny, you be Craig, and you do that thing that you do, and we'll all fucking drink at the end of this. And I'm glad it didn't turn out
that
way.
They didn't do that. They didn't. You can tell they took a lot of time with the script and everything and kept it contained. I'm sure there's plenty of takes that were riffing that made it to the final cut. And they're funny. They picked the funny ones. It's like they took their own senses of humor and their own and have been reading the criticisms of their work and said, okay.
Well, we as comics, we know how dangerous riffing can be in that context, especially when you're with all your friends, because they're all friends. And I think they're exceptionally good at what they do. I mean, I love Knocked Up. And those scenes, the funniest scenes are when they are just going at each other. And that's hysterical. Mm-hmm. So,
and 50-50, like I really liked 50-50.
Yeah?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's just, they're funny. They're intrinsically funny people.
Virgin, you look at all these movies. Yeah.
Super bad.
Just funny in their bones. So, but the problem is, if without knowing your limitations, it can turn into a fuck off fest where you're just trying to make yourselves laugh, and then that can turn into a mess. But it's
and then
good
you're doing couples retreat,
yes,
or the internship, or anything like that.
Well, it sounds like it was reined in though, where it still kind of served what they were doing.
But the good thing is they made it themselves, so they reined themselves in. It wasn't like they had some, because you'd usually need an arbiter to go, guys. You know, Judd Apatow or somebody like to come in and go, although Judd Apatow is the one who encourages them to go fucking psychotic.
Right.
But yeah, so it's good that they made their own thing and recognized it and were able to stay within boundaries.
Yeah, it was the perfect amount of self-awareness.
That's great.
You know, and that's what keeps it on track. That's what keeps it funny. And everybody, like Craig Robinson, always has a towel over his shoulder because he sweats so much like he does on stage. So goddamn funny. You know, and you know, the shit that they say, they're starting to complain about how hard it is to be movie stars and stuff. It's fucking funny, man. Great. Like, I, you know, and we've talked about it on the show, obviously we're comics. So we come down harder on comedy films than anyone else would, yeah. you know? And so...
Well, and riffing-based comedy
riffing
films.
Riffing-based comedy films.
It's like you get with your friends and you start going off, and you, if civilians were around, they'd be like, this is fucking horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it works, man. It's worth seeing. And I would even say see it in the big screen.
I'm going to go right now. Would that be... finish this up without me?
Because you hear the door slam sound effect. Clack.
I hope nobody sits in front of me with a Coke. Yeah,
for their sake.
Yeah.
Wearing Dr. Scrubs. All right. Let's move into now
Man of Steel.
Steel. So first we will say this. We are going to do a spoiler ep version of Man of Steel that'll come out later this week. So now we're going to do our stand generally, and I say that especially to all three of us so that we don't get in, we can't divulge too much in this basic one. Now, Mike.
All right.
Maybe we should
let Mike go last. Maybe you and I should start.
Okay, all right. We all saw this. Well, Mike had seen it once before, but then we all three saw it again. It was Mike's second viewing, Chris and I's first viewing in Palm Springs.
And in 3D.
And in 3D, which I did not want to do. I'm mad at myself for saying yes. Not worth it. Again, I'm tired of saying this. I have no one to blame but myself. I continue to go to the hardware store for milk, and it is my own fault. 3D is stupid.
But by the way,
I want to hear in the right hands is fuck it. It's dumb. I don't need it. It's a waste of money.
Just to clarify, too, it's not like we chose to go 3D. We really wanted to see the movie. The only screening left was 3D, so we were forced to see it. Not like, hey, there's a 2D and a 3D. Let's pick the 3D. And that's actually how they get
you. I should have gone to bed after the show and then watched it the next day.
But what a lot of times the theaters do now, too, is that they put the 2D screenings in the smaller theaters that sell out faster. So then you're forced to go into the 3D ones anyway. Which, again, horrible. Right. And 3D occasionally is good in the right hands. Okay. But I would say I would
sit in there
one hand.
Yeah, I would say maybe 10% or less of the time.
I would say 2%.
That is a debatable number. I'll give you that.
There's 8 points of wiggle room.
Yeah. So Man of Steel. Maybe I'll start here.
Which, by the way, this is the ended 20 million opening weekend. It's done 33 total, so it's recouped. Man of Steel, 117 million opening weekend.
Huge. Okay.
That's for those bullshit glasses.
Yeah. It's true. First, let me just say, very excited to see this movie. I've been waiting for like a really good... Yeah, I think we all were. Yeah, a great Superman movie. You know, we haven't seen a good Superman movie in a fairly long time.
Real quick, total budget on this, $225 million.
Okay, so they're a little bit more than halfway there, not including marketing costs, which were also enormous, although Gillette seemed to give them a lot of money for talking about how Superman shaves.
And Jeep.
Yeah,
and
yeah. So some of that money was recouped.
Are we going to get into this now?
not yet.
All right.
Not yet. But so anyway, I went into this movie very, very excited to see this movie. And I was
Mike's
I was,
like a rabid dog on a leash.
Yeah, I know.
Just
that's why we need to.
Waiting for you
that's
to why come we need within to, his leash's range.
That's why we need to let him go last so then he can just go and we won't interrupt. Henry Cavill, I was a fan of his. I think he's a great actor. I actually liked him all the way back from The Tudors. I thought he did a fantastic job, and I was excited to see him. Fan of Amy Adams, love Michael Shannon. And I'm a fan of Zack Snyder, too. I mean, I really like 300 and, of course, Christopher Nolan producing. So here's what I thought of the movie. I was so excited when it started. I thought this backstory of Krypton and what was going on, mm-hmm. I thought it was really, really cool. And then when we get to Earth... And we see Superman as he progresses and as the story unfolds. And I got to say, I thought the movie fell apart. I really wanted to like this movie and I really didn't. It's like one of those movies where, you know how some movies you start to see and they win you over because mm-hmm. you're like a little against it? This movie did the opposite. I was excited to see it. I was excited for the first 20 minutes or so. I thought this is stuff we haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. Things, politics of Krypton and, you know, how the lifestyles and different culture.
The reflex, by the way.
Politics of Krypton.
Politics of flying.
And then when we get to Earth, everything fell apart.
Politics of the Phantom Zone.
And, and here's why. Here's why. Because when you have a certain character that's iconic of any comic book character like Superman, you have certain canon that you really need to kind of stick to. Now, you can also go very differently. You can veer off. Like when you have Batman and the Dark Knight movies, they stuck to the character, but they changed a lot of everything else. And that's perfectly fine. You know, I love those movies, but they didn't do anything crazy. This movie, they did. And you look at, like, in the guise of, like, we just got to do something different. We got to make it darker and broodier. And what happens is you destroy the canon and the characters, and then you have a movie for no one. Because then you have all these things that the purists don't like. And then you have things like, well, now I'm just bored. I mean, there was about 30 to 40 minutes of just people getting thrown through buildings. And that was, well, no, you need to cut all of that out. I'm tired of seeing, you know, superhumans throw each other through buildings. The first once or twice, great. It's a big throwdown fight. But here's where I thought it really, really fell apart at its core. When you have this... you have basically an alien who is Superman, and he's raised by the Heartland, you know, the all-American parents, and that's where ultimately he gains his values. If that's askew, then all of a sudden, like, the father, and this is in the trailer, this is not a spoiler, saying, you know, you have to hide, you can't help people, you can't do any of these things. That will affect the way you're growing up. And one of the greatest things about Superman is he's an alien, but he was also raised by essentially the best of America, hope and light, the Heartland. So that actually is a core component of his character. You take that away, you take away a lot of Superman. And then there's things we'll get into in the spoiler episode that just were a little infuriating. But you also take a part like Lois Lane. You know, you try to, in the process of hipping up and modernizing and making these for a younger audience, hungrier for darker and more controversial material, you pretty much destroy the character and what actually made it great. You can modernize, that's fine. Like we saw it with Dark Knight. I mean, how old is the Batman character?
Right.
Yeah, and you know, we could not wait to see these movies, and they were fantastic. So, but when you have something like Man of Steel, where ultimately the character at its core is hope and light, and you take those things away, then you have nowhere to go but to kind of a convoluted mess. And I love the fact that the added General Zod and, you know, his, you know, his little bit of empathic things about his character, like why he does what he does. But ultimately, again, it falls completely apart. Well, now I don't care. Now they're just punching each other. And now I don't care. This makes no sense. It's not even that it made no sense. It was just more you didn't latch on and you didn't care. Mm-hmm. And Henry Cavill didn't have enough to work with the character, and the whole controversy of his upbringing and, you know, the fear and the scaredness of Ma and Pa Kent. It really just didn't. It went against the core of what we love about Superman, like more human than human. That's the greatest appeal of this character, is like you're the best of what we can be, and there shouldn't be controversy to that. And that's what I didn't like about the movie.
What do you mean? What do you mean there was controversy? Just how the Earthlings wouldn't accept him? What do you
No, mean? His upbringing. I mean, Earthlings not accepting. I get that part. That's fine, and that's always been part of the canon. It's how he became the character and that he is. That's the part I didn't like. It's more basically the origin story is what I really had a problem with. Now, it did make a couple for compelling scenes, you know, we'll get into in the spoiler episode, but ultimately, because it was such a weird twist to the character, it didn't play out in the long run for me.
You know, I felt like similar. Like I liked the first 30 minutes or so.
Great. I mean, what a great setup.
Russell Crowe.
Yeah, amazing.
Great,
yeah, yeah.
You know,
until he becomes a ghost throughout the entire movie.
You know, and I thought they, I liked the technology that they, the CG that they used to depict Krypton's technology. That sort of metal. I don't know how they did it, but when they would show stuff, these like you see these little. Like look like metallic beads or whatever, like BBs, and then they'd form a shape or whatever. Like I really like that. Henry Cavill, I'm glad that they, you know, the last guy, the last Superman,
Brendan Routh, was that his name?
This Brendan guy, Routh.
Henry Cavill. I'm glad that he like worked out and was huge.
Really? Yeah.
Yes.
That made you happy.
Yes, because
that Wolverine was Superman.
That's what Superman is supposed to be, big and cut. Not
Superman looks like a normal dude, like kind of big. Christopher Reeve. He's 6'4". He's tall.
You're talking about Christopher Reeve. I'm talking about the comic book. He is depicted in the comic book. He is ripped in the comic book because he is a Superman.
Yeah.
That's always been my problem
in a comic book, when you draw a guy like that, it makes sense. But in a movie, when you see this fucking parade float with a hat on walking around and then it dons the Superman suit, it's ridiculous to me. Go ahead. I apologize.
I don't know. Yeah, well, I don't agree with that.
He's so jacked. He looks like you could put a pin in him and he'd fucking shoot all over the countryside.
I think he should.
That's part I didn't have a problem with. I like seeing him ripped. I mean, that's what Superman would look like.
That's what Superman would look like, in my opinion. So I liked that. I liked that he got in crazy shape for the role. I like that, you know, in the comic book, I don't know that there's a... If you cast it the way that the comic book, he's like 6'5". He towers over everybody. Mm-hmm. And so if you made him that big... I'm glad that they made this guy is like 6'2". Like, if you made him like NFL size, I think that would be too much to make it plausible in this world.
So no super refrigerator Perry?
No, yeah, refrigerator. Wow, current reference.
Yeah. Going back to the first Superman movie. Yeah.
Sure. And the only Bears Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I liked that, and I liked Kevin Costner and the scenes. I liked how, you know, Kevin Costner was like, this world won't get you. You know, you gotta hide. And that was the beginning part of him sort of being a loner, but he just can't stop helping people. And I like that. I like how they flash back to the kid, but then it just became boring, and eventually it's one of those things like in an Origin movie, like, just get it.
Why does the origin have to be that long?
Does it take an hour and 45 minutes to finally go, all right, I guess I'm
no one's going into a Superman movie going, I hope they show how he becomes Superman.
Yeah, just
I mean,
fucking
how many times have we seen there? Smallville has been on for years.
The goddamn cape is on the poster. Let's get to it.
They tried to make it different by doing it in the flashbacks.
Right.
But I'm just tired of it. I'm so tired of the origin story. We know who he is.
Right.
Leap into it. And they added that different thing where he went and hid and he had a beard and he worked on a fishing boat for a while.
And yeah, and like, he went against his father's wishes about, like, you know, not helping people. And
you know what's funny? The
ridiculous
original trailer that showed him hitchhiking and had a beard and then, you know, swimming and all
reminded
that.
Reminded me of Incredible Hulk.
Exactly. But what made me laugh more about it is... then you see the movie, that's the only time he ever does that stuff.
I know.
I thought the whole movie he was going to be like Kung Fu, like drifting all over the fucking right. place. But instead, in the trailer they showed you he worked on a fishing boat and then he worked out here. And yes, guess what? That's exactly what he did. You're right. Done. There's no more of him wandering the earth. It just a fucking whiff. I sat there and I wanted to like it.
Sure.
The first 20 minutes on Krypton really works for me.
Yeah.
And Russell Crowe is great. And to go to, like you said, you know, the origin story, and we're talking about flashbacks, we get it. How many times do we have to see Superman not be Superman before he gets to be Superman?
It's amazing. Like, I mean, this is a simpler character to get.
Yes.
Than Batman. You don't need to do an origin story like you do with Batman. Like,
I mean, how do you keep screwing up the easiest character to get?
Everyone knows who Superman is. For another planet, special powers. Yeah,
and this could be done. Me. I'm tired of Superman as the Jackie Robinson of fucking superheroes, where everybody gets to slap the shit out of him and he has to make a face and walk away. It's like, dude, could we just see him once put somebody through a fucking wall?
Yeah.
And I mean a real person, not a fucking superhero. Let him see a fucking real person who's bullying him as a kid, and then he fucking spikes him or drives him into a fucking ditch or something.
How great was that scene in Superman 2?
Amazing.
When he got beat up by the at the truck stop.
And he goes back.
Then he goes back.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I've been working out.
Yeah, throws him in a plate of food, slides him down, your order's up.
Yeah.
Ding! You know, like everything.
And again, if we're really arguing, that's against the canon, too. Superman doesn't do those things. But that's, you know, that's why Superman is just a fucking bore. I'm not a Superman guy. I'm not. I, you know, I the comic books, because there's nothing... there's no challenges for Superman. It's either kryptonite or nothing, because he's invincible. He's Superman. That's the whole point. It's in the name. So I could never get into him as a kid. The movie itself was interesting because it was so crazy to see a superhero on the big screen, especially when I was only fucking 11. So I was into it. But then as time progressed, I don't think they've ever made a good Superman movie. This movie is essentially, they remade Superman 2 and they threw in the origin story for good measure. Mm-hmm. That's it. And I think he's an unfilmable character now. This movie drove the fucking final nail in the coffin, even though I know for a fact it's opened up the possibility of 9 more Man of Steels and Justice League and every other bullshit thing they're going to try to throw at us. But I just think the character is unfilmable, especially after watching this movie and seeing it twice. I did not feel different about it the second time. I thought maybe I was being unfair, but I went in. I'm not an asshole. I don't go into things wanting to hate them. I'm not a smart and a snarky dick.
Right.
I wanted to love it.
No, we all went in wanting to really like this movie.
Superman, for me, I was like, well, I'll see it, but I'm not Captain Superman, which is, by the way, the best hero you've ever heard of in your life.
Superman.
Captain Superman.
Oh, he's the only one stronger.
Captain Superman Shazam?
Yeah, yeah. I was not excited. I was like, all right, yeah, I'll see it because it's Superman and it's a hero thing and it's going to be the thing for Justice League. I have to see it. But then I saw the Zod trailer, because they put out all these different incarnations of trailers almost every week. When I saw the Zod trailer, I went, you've got me. And I went opening night at midnight. I said, that's it. You've got my money. Once I saw that trailer, and then I get there, I laughed out loud. I laughed out loud at this movie. And again, it may be...
There's so many great Superman stories, too. There really are. I mean, everything from, like, Brainiac to... In fact, it's even gotten rebooted a lot. There's, Jeff Johns did a great Brainiac origin story that in the comics. But here...
aging stories that I've read in the graphic novels, those are really interesting.
Now,
like an older... How does he deal with it?
Yeah, yeah. And even just... Now, I have to say, I did like, even as a kid, and I haven't seen them in a while, the first two Superman movies, Christopher Reeve, I really liked those.
It's just the Ned Beatty is the problem. Because why would... I love Ned Beatty. It's just why would they have this...
That was comic relief.
It's funny. I wrote the comic book chapter for your book. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even touch on Otis because I didn't want to deal with it. Because it is so stupid. It makes no sense. Why would Luther hang out with that dude?
Except
the fact that he was banging him in prison. I mean, it's the only thing you can think about.
You know, that was a studio note. You know, we need a little comic relief.
But that's why they fucking ruin any superhero movie. Because they think that you want to see the chick. They're like, oh, yeah, Spider-Man's got to have a girl that he dates. No, he fucking doesn't. Let him be Spider-Man and swing around and fight Mysterio. Make a good Mysterio. I'll deal with the fact that he doesn't get laid. You know what I mean? It's just the because they're trying to broaden the appeal to everyone.
Right.
And when you do that, you fucking put a thumb in the eye of half the fucking audience.
Right. Well, you water it down. What happens is you add all these extra elements that don't belong, and then you water it down.
Now, Kick-Ass was so great.
Right.
It was a superhero movie that didn't give a fuck about, it had a mother, a father and daughter, but
a psychotic father teaching his 10-year-old daughter how to kill people with a knife.
Yeah, and Kick-Ass wanted to bang that chick, but it wasn't like the be-all, end-all. He wasn't a mope about it.
The weird thing is, like with Spider-Man, and even with Superman, there's these romance options that really exist as part of the canon that actually really helped to shape the characters. Like, the death of Gwen Stacy was huge in the Spider-Man universe. So you can add those in without shoehorning them in. I mean, that's the big difference. You can have that kind of love story, but not as like, well, that needs to be the focus. I mean, that's what happened with, the Lois and Clark show. That ended up being the, that was the whole show was the love story. And even a lot of ladies liked that show, and a lot of men were like, well, I want to see him punch supervillains.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let's get into this now. Let's talk about, there's been so many comic book movies now, because obviously when they're done, there's so much money to be made.
Right.
And let's get into this with Superman too. Like these big, but now there's like the Superman Jeep commercial, all the product placement.
Oh my God. The ads in Entertainment Weekly about how does Superman shave? You're like, literally, I'm like, come on, really?
I just saw the Carl's Jr. commercial. I didn't even know it existed. Because I have TiVo and I can just blow right through commercials. Mm-hmm. I don't have to watch them.
Right.
So I blow through and all of a sudden I see Superman. I'm like, whoa. And I rewind it. And then I see a giant hamburger. And what's funny
is... So he's fighting Hamburglar in the studio.
And losing.
Yeah.
Depends on how much money the Hamburglar's company came up with. Superman will take a fucking dive. But in the commercials, like, you know, they're fixing up potholes that Superman creates because he's in a fight. And the guy holds up the giant hamburger. But my favorite part of it is, you know, they show Henry... Is it Cavill?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they show Henry Cavill, and he lands, and he rolls his eyes, and he flies off. And then they go back to the construction. Because you know Henry Cavill did not film a Carl's Jr. commercial. He told them, he goes, I'll land and make a face and fly away. Put me in wherever you want. They could have put him in a gay porn. He wouldn't have fucking cared at that point because he's just getting paid. And because he's in the distance in the commercial, like the guy's eating a hamburger. And, you know, and that's my favorite part too, is also Superman's far in the distance. The burger is bigger than Superman. Like, you know, the Carl's Jr., there's 14 dudes in suits and going, no, 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 we need another layer of bacon so it's bigger than Superman, you fucking humps. It's just terrible. It's so terrible. But yeah, just, you know, Gillette. And I mean, I'll get into this now. I don't know if it was, it's not a spoiler. There's a huge fight scene in Smallville, and essentially the town is leveled with this fight scene. The only things not destroyed are the IHOP sign, the 7-Eleven sign, and the Sears sign.
Right.
Those are the only things that survive the carnage as Superman fights two supervillains in the street and the military tries to gun them all down.
They were
the only thing that survived.
They were protected by a magic product placement bubble.
Yes, which is always in focus. We always see the Sears sign. And my favorite part is Sears is deader than the Superman mythology at this point. Yeah. Why the fuck are they in the movie? Yeah. I pictured like nine dudes at Sears just going, what do we got left in the budget? Let's throw it at something and hope to God it saves
us. Let's buy more ads in the Yellow Pages.
Now this
exactly.
Now this has to mean that if I go into an IHOP right now, there's like some kind of Superman
pancake. Of course there is.
There has to be a Superman
pancake. A Rudy Tooty fresh and soupy. You know what I mean? You know it's there.
If it's in the S, I'll buy it.
Yeah. Oh, Christ almighty. I sat there as, and then he fights in an IHOP.
Right.
Well, and then he gets thrown through Sears. And you see the interior.
That's true to life. Anybody getting a fight in an IHOP, I can see that.
True. I go to World Star Hip Hop for fuck's sake. Everybody's fighting an IHOP these days. They're like, we'll modernize the Superman tail. I mean, Jesus Christ! It's
What do you think now? The direction that comic book movies are going, because there's going to be more Avengers movies. There's going to be a Justice League movie.
Here's the mistake. I'm going to say this right off the bat is. As soon as you see, because they're so dumb, the executives, as soon as they see a successful comic book movie like Dark Knight or even the X-Men, the last X-Men movie, First Class, the takeaway is not that it was a good movie filled with drama and explored the characters in new and interesting ways. It was like, oh, darker. You have to make it darker.
But here's
and that's what happened with this movie, and I can see it happening in all these other superhero movies coming out. I don't care about the character. Like the last Spider-Man movie was a disaster. It was
don't
horrible.
You think, though, but
darker. That's
but
all
at,
it is.
But look at Iron Man 3, which we liked. Avengers was good. Like
Avengers was amazing.
Aren't they doing good? They're doing it.
The correct ones, yes. I'm talking about the ones that are misfiring.
Oh, okay.
The ones that are misfiring, that's the giant mistake that they continually make. It's like, take this character that shouldn't be darker and make it darker.
But they're allowed to do that because the public will pay to see these films. So they can go ahead and step on their dick all they want. Like Green Lantern was a bomb. Miserable. So what do they do? We're just going to reboot it. We're going to make a new one with a new guy and a new Green Lantern. It's like, are you fucking serious? But unfortunately, they'll get the opening weekend and they'll get their DVD money and their overseas money. And then that's fine enough. That's good enough for them. Right. And so they'll bring any hero property to the screen that they can possibly unearth.
Right.
Like, you know, they fucking ruined the Daredevil property when they did the Daredevil movie.
They destroyed it.
But now they're rebooting it and they're planning on doing it darker and all that sort of stuff. And it's like, well.
But that makes sense for a Daredevil character. That's essentially Marvel's Dark Knight.
But eventually, all this darkness is going to implode on itself.
Well, that's, and then the opposite of that, like we're talking about, is the Avengers, where you have this kind of brighter universe with Iron Man and Captain America, and they are more comic book-y, especially with more like the Golden Age, you could call it, with comic books. Now, the takeaway from that is more be true to the actual property, but the takeaway is never that. The takeaway is like, you know, more money, more, you know, they don't.
Well, money.
I think Disney actually understands it. When they bought Marvel, they kind of saw the writing on the wall, and they said, you know what? Let's have artists and people that really love these properties actually work on them. You know, and because you know, you saw the last Green Lantern movie, the guy had like the director was like not even that familiar with the character. Mm-hmm. Nobody, they don't care. And, you know, it goes back to...
But what happened here, though? What happened with Man of Steel? Because obviously Nolan cares. Obviously Zack Snyder cares. They're obviously
this
fans.
Was the first mistake. It went darker on a character that shouldn't have gone darker. Show me...
Just, I didn't mind the darkness. It was just how it just kind of started to go nowhere.
Well, that's the darkness... when we get into the spoiler app, I think the darkness was what made it go nowhere.
Oh, all right.
I think money is going to be the biggest problem because they see so much money to be made from these films, but they don't want to share that money. We all saw Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, and he became Spider-Man in our eyes. And then they decided, well, Sam Raimi and these guys, we don't want to deal with them anymore. So now, oh yeah, we'll just make Spider-Man again with Andrew Garfield and another director who you guys don't. And they just assume people will spoon feed themselves with what you're sending us. Now they're making noise about not paying Robert Downey Jr. for Avengers 2. So they're like, well, we might have to find another Iron Man. Well, then fuck you.
Right.
You are the ones who've given us three Iron Man movies and an Avengers movie with a character that is beloved, that we an actor who is made for that role. And now because you don't want to pay him, even though you're making obscene amounts of money. Right. And it's funny. It's just like sports. When you spin it where you're like, well, can you believe this actor wants to make $200 million? Well, you guys made $1 billion.
Yeah.
$1 billion. So why should
Sony
he get
tried
paid?
To tell Stan Lee that Spider-Man didn't make a profit?
Oh, that's unbelievable! Like, really? Then why are you making sequels?
Oh, why are there Spider-Man in McDonald's or
what?
Wherever?
Cups.
Yeah, telling Stan Lee you didn't make money from Spider-Man.
But that's
movies.
The problem is you will always have these people who are the money is so great. And the public will pay for that opening weekend that they think will take anything.
And there'll always be a job for a creative accountant. Yeah. In a studio. And that's really what it is. It boils down to creative accounting. And ultimately, Stanley's like said to Sony, fuck you, I'm suing you. And they settled. What a surprise. Sony paid out. Because they don't have a leg to stand on when you see all this money that these movies make.
But then they, you know, not a hero movie, but like The Hangover. When The Hangover made so much money and then they gave them all cars. Right. And they made a huge, it's, you know, like you said in Entertainment Weekly, Gillette, how does Superman shave? When they gave them those cars for The Hangover, they made a big deal. Oh my God, they gave them these Mercedes or whatever they gave them. And it's just like, that's nothing. That's catering money for you motherfuckers in the first 2 days of filming a big blockbuster. Yeah. But they make themselves look like benevolent heroes when they made $700 million right. And they gave them cars. And that's the problem with these movies, I think, is they're going to find every superhero property and strip mine it. And because they know they'll get their opening weekend out of it. And if it doesn't work, they'll just go, well, we'll just make it again with another dude. And eventually the whole thing's going to cannibalize itself. And
we're already starting to see signs of that too, because when you have a summer movie season, ultimately you had a couple superhero movies. Those were the big movies. It was like a big science fiction movie. It was maybe one or two, maybe three superheroes at the most. Now we're being deluged every single summer by a ton of superhero movies. And that is, to
we've
me, that's
had,
unsustainable.
What, three or four? We've had Iron Man. We've had Man of Steel.
Well, Wolverine comes out. That to me is going to be a real test. I have a lot of faith in the fact that they were able to make the Japanese stories and bring in the Silver Samurai, because people are going to go there expecting bright colors and Wolverine and a lot of eye beams and a lot of powers. And that's not what those stories are about. The books are amazing mm-hmm. when Wolverine's in Japan. So if they were true to those, people are going to come out of those movies scratching their head and going, what the fuck just happened? Because I'm interested to see the approach to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too.
We talk about the money and I read an interview with David Goyer where he's talking about superhero movies, and they asked him about Man of Steel because he wrote Man of Steel and he's writing the upcoming Justice League movie, and he acknowledged the fact that there will be a Batman in the Justice League movies, but it will not be Christopher Nolan's Batman, and the Dark Knight universe exists on its own. It does not exist
like
in the Justice League universe. So he's explaining why there will be a different Batman other than that other Batman, and it won't be Christian Bale, but this will be a new Batman to go with the Justice League, and then the Man of Steel will be tied in with these other Justice Leagues, and then there'll be another Batman, and we might meet a Wonder Woman. And he's and I'm reading it, and I'm just going, you guys, you're just throwing shit at a wall at this point. I mean, Christian Bale is Batman. That's just who he is.
Right.
I remember when they were talking about casting Armie Hammer as the Justice League Batman, and they're naming all these different actors. And
we'll see how Lone Ranger does, and that'll determine it.
No kidding. Well, if they're going to do a Justice League movie,
technically superhero movie,
Lone Ranger.
Yeah,
really.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
But you're going to do a Justice League movie. You know, are you going to shoehorn in Wonder Woman's origin story? Are you going to give us Bruce Wayne's Batman? I mean,
and which Green Lantern are we going to get?
That's exactly
it. There's three of them on Earth now.
Are they just going to give us the origin of all of them? Or are you going to jump right in and assume we all know who these characters are? Because Marvel laid the groundwork for the Avengers. They spent 12 years laying the groundwork for the Avengers. I saw Man of Steel, and well, this is a spoiler, so I won't do it. But right. There should have been a.
We'll talk about the spoiler.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, let's. We got to move on, but we'll talk more about this in the spoiler up. What Justice League may or may not be.
So it's weird. It's a double-edged sword. It really is with all these superhero movies. On the plus side, we're getting better movies. I mean, everything leading up to the Avengers.
Let us never forget the 90s. Let us never forget that decade of horror and heresy.
Yes.
There was not one good superhero movie in the 90s.
And they were also sequels to bad movies. They were like, wait, why are you still making... Worse. Yeah, why are you making...
It was awful.
Yeah, yeah. Just remember, Bane is... Poison Ivy's bodyguard. That's all you need to remember.
all right.
So I think really it's, like I said, it's a double-edged sword. I really think that, when you have a lot to look forward to, you also have a lot of potential for abuse and strip mining, like Mike said. So you can take the good with the bad.
We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving forward. On DVD, Jack the Giant Slayer.
Did not see this. I believe Neil has a review on the site of this. He thought it was better than he thought it would be.
All right, 21 and over. I never saw. Was this funny?
There's a lot of movies on here that it's a DVD week that we haven't seen a lot of movies for. Movie 43, which is the most poorly reviewed movie I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah.
Last Exorcism Part 2, Quartet, and Stoker.
Wow, that's the worst DVD lineup I've ever seen in my life.
I love the fact that Last Exorcism Part 2, it contradicts itself in the title.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the never-ending story.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
So let's get on to the movies coming out this weekend. Now, big, big, big weekend.
All right.
Again.
World War Z. As I've said...
This is where you and I split.
This is where we split. Mm-hmm. You guys are, and many people, you're not alone, are worried, oh, the ending's been reshot, and it's not like the book. I am holding faith in Brad Pitt.
I'm with you. I love Brad Pitt.
All right.
And I read the book, and I'm hoping.
So even knowing going in, you love the book, going in that they've changed some things from the book, you still have confidence.
I love Brad Pitt.
Right.
I really enjoy his work. The thing I'm worried about is the PG-13 that I don't get. A lot of zombies sneaking up and tapping you on the shoulder and going boo. I don't know if that's going to be fun.
The Dark Knight movies were PG-13 and they bent that rule.
But you don't have the type of gore that you.
Yeah,
you
superhero movies.
But hold on.
Not violence, gore.
Gore. Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. What Batman did, they just shot around the gore. The Joker killed a guy by smashing his head through a pencil.
Right.
Like they just didn't. Show the actual...
But then the Joker did not eat the man's corpse. Zombies eat people.
That is true.
That's true.
They attack, and they attack in waves. They attack, 80 guys jump one dude and tear him apart, and you just see entrails. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like Walking Dead.
It's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. Although there have been some terrifying PG-13 horror movies, too. They do kind of stretch that.
Last Exorcism Part 2 was just
so scary. I think... It's going to do well with the PG-13 thing is it's going to do the thing that they rarely do in these movies, which is show you the whole earth and how the whole earth is dealing with it. It's always just this town or this neighborhood. So when you get up close, then you need to see the entrails and all that stuff. I think this one is more about, it's Brad Pitt.
This is more of a macro lens.
Well, it is. Well, Brad Pitt's in these helicopters in the trailer and he's talking to these generals and they're in this command center going.
Have you noticed too, no trailer shows you a close up of a zombie?
Right.
That's intentional.
They show them in waves like ants.
Have you
seen the trailer with Michael Morse, who's like, you work for the CIA? They know who I am or whatever. He's some like, so now there's some sort of mystery as to where this virus came from.
Yeah.
That, I think, is what is going to be what's going to make this movie good. All right,
we'll see.
I'm excited.
Monsters University, I'm excited to see this. I'll be going with the family on Sunday. I really like the first one. And the thing I like about it, it doesn't feel like a money grab. It actually feels like a nice sequel to the film.
Yeah, the idea, the conceit of it is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the flashback to where when they met. And and it's Pixar. I mean, how can you possibly go wrong?
So looking forward to it.
It's going to be great.
Maniac, this is a horror movie starring Elijah Wood. Now, this, I'm getting conflicting reports on the internet about whether or not this is a remake or not. There was like an 80s slasher movie.
Yeah, there was.
But I'm not sure if this is a remake or not. Some people are saying it is. Some people are saying it's not. So I don't know.
The owner of a mannequin shop develops a dangerous obsession with a young artist.
So, but people get killed.
That wasn't a joke.
Yeah, yeah, that's that. No. That's
rated PG-13.
Yeah. And The Bling Ring, this is the real-life crime story from Sofia Coppola about...
I think this is going to be one of those movies that, like, isn't no one's talking about it, and you're going to watch it and go, holy shit. Like,
like Clueless, but with, like, thieves.
I like her. She's a great filmmaker. Yeah, I like watching her movies.
And so. Emma Watson's in it, too. So it could be good.
So interesting.
I agree with you. All of those things work for me for The Bling Ring, but I'm being told so much that I need to like it. That it's going to be cool, that I'm kind of in my own head backlashing against it
already
as an old person. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because I'm being told, oh, it's young and cool and hip and Hollywood and all that stuff. And Paris Hilton is involved and all those people. Because, you know, it's the true life story of
Sofia Coppola is not that young.
But she does amazing work. And so that's what I'm saying. I'm torn because, all these online outposts that I read, a lot of places are, oh my God, it's so hip and cool. And I'm already backlashing a little bit on Bling Ring, but who knows? I heard it's good.
All right. That was a backlash with a disclaimer.
Yeah.
It was an asterisk backlash. All right. Well, that's our program, ladies and gentlemen. Ep 165, lock it down, put it in the books. Mike Schmidt, where can people hear your podcast, visit you on the internets?
My podcast is called The 40-Year-Old Boy. It's available in iTunes. Just go ahead and search Mike Schmidt or search The 40-Year-Old Boy with the number 40. You can go to MikeSchmidtComedy.com for any and all information about upcoming dates, although I have none right now, but you can go to the Joe Business page for all the merch that I have.
Now, you have t-shirts, different designs too, right?
We're almost out of shirts. We're in the middle of retooling everything, but I have all the download sets and all prints and artwork and all, mugs and earbuds, all sorts of stuff. People support the show.
You have earbuds?
We do. We have a deal with a company. Not Mike Schmidt here, but I have a deal with a company who sponsors the show.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. And you can get me at MikeSchmidtComedy.com if you want to tell me how wrong I am about all the stuff we talked about.
Our fans may take you up on that.
And you can follow me at Twitter.com/the40-year-old boy.
Nice. And also, Mike Schmidt wrote a couple chapters in the Comedy Film Nerd Guide to Movies.
And while we have him in the office, he will be signing some. So if you buy a couple, the next couple ones, we'll definitely get a Mike Schmidt signature on them.
Schmidt signature, tongue twister. Chris, what else do we got?
We've got a couple shows coming up, don't we? We've got Barstow coming up.
Halfway to Vegas tour, July 12th in Barstow at, I think it's Rosalita's Mexican restaurant there. It's the only gig that there's the only place that's going to have comedy on July 12th or this year for that matter in Barstow.
Old Nation shuts down.
And then I will be headlining.
Well, I was going to say, what I like about that gig is like about this time of the year when we go to Barstow, we're both low on tattoos and meth.
Yeah, so it's great. And Barstow in July.
You're growing your Barstow beard.
That's right.
Fit right in.
Getting my meth beard. Ramping up for a neck tattoo. And then I'll be headlining the Improv in Hollywood July 13th. It's a 10 o'clock show. Mike Schmidt will be on that show.
I will indeed.
Joking it up. Doug Benson will be on that show. And a couple others we're going to line up. Also, I forgot. Oh, yeah, my June dates. I'll be with Doug Benson this June 27th at the Howlin' Wolf in the Big Easy, New Orleans. And then June 28th for the fourth annual Doug Benson Day in Oklahoma City.
That actually exists.
Yeah, the governor of the state of Oklahoma City like 4 years ago made it official Doug Benson Day. And then, so he's come back every June 28th.
So was it the mayor of Oklahoma City actually made this an actual day?
Something like that.
Nice. Oh, God, that's great.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
So it's an official day in Oklahoma City for Doug Benson.
But he can't be there. It's like Doug Benson free day.
We're doing
that's
it.
Yeah, that's they made a Doug. Doug can't be there that one day.
Yeah, that's right? Why
they,
we're
they
doing
banned
show,
him.
Just outside the city limits.
To protest it.
To protest it, yeah. That's what he's against it. So, check all that out. And of course, Like our fan page.
Yep, and we really appreciate you guys supporting the store. Also, you know, some of you new fans may not know that we actually have an iPhone and Android app. It's $1.99, and you can get the back catalogs for free. And also, every episode, we have a little bonus feature where the guests will talk about either whatever they want, actually. It's more they recommend a movie. They talk about something that happened to them on set. So that you get free with the app.
Yeah, and we appreciate a bunch of you guys went on iTunes and got rid of all those.
Oh, you fixed our tracking. Yes, thank you so much. You guys are awesome. Yeah, we had that weird tracking with all the bad reviews from 2009 and 11. We're going to the top, so you guys fixed that for us. And, we really appreciate that.
And this endless build-a-title game on the message boards.
Oh, hilarious.
You guys can't be using IMDb. It doesn't count if you're using IMDb. You got to just do it from your memory. If you don't remember, the game dies. But I feel like this is going to go on forever. And thanks for all you guys' emails. You really love the spoiler eps. So it's cool.
So we're going to stop doing them.
We're going to stop. We're done. We're done. Yeah. How's that sound, assholes? Yeah. So yeah, listen to the spoiler app coming out this Friday, Man of Steel. Thank you once again to Mike Schmidt.
Hey.
Okay, Fonz.
Yeah.
my name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini, and as always, remember,
Han shot first.
Hey.
Ew, Potsy. What?